You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
What's up, everybody? Coast to Coast Podcast joining you on our normal time slot, 8 o'clock on a Sunday evening. Appreciate all of y'all being here for sure. Look, a lot going on. As always, you know why you're here. Discussion around recruiting, North Carolina basketball, preps, transfers, you name it. I'm Joey Powell for Inside Carolina. Cheryl McMillan and Sean Moran are with me. And we're brought to you by Johnny T-Shirt and Congruity. All right, everybody. Appreciate y'all being here tonight. Sherelle and Sean are here as usual. We haven't done an actually regularly scheduled show, easy for me to say, in quite some time. We've done a couple of emergency pods, which we have dropped out for folks. And I think that probably the mood when you were watching or listening to those emergency podcasts is probably a little bit better than some of the angst that UNC fan base might be feeling right now. Because it seems like North Carolina missed out again on a big target to start at the five position next year for the Tar Heels. So what I'd like to do before we bring in Sherelle and Sean is just kind of reset where North Carolina is right now. As we sit here on May the 5th, Cinco de Mayo, if you do celebrate that, you know, great. Make sure you're not doing any unfair cultural appropriation or misappropriation. But I want to reset the board for everybody. So since we last did a regularly scheduled Coast to Coast podcast here, Harrison Ingram has put his name in the NBA draft, is received an invite to the NBA Combine, is now prepping really hard. He actually was in Chapel Hill last week and cleaned out his locker and all that good stuff. Seth Trimble, who had put his name in the transfer portal, which we did a show about, decided he was going to return to North Carolina. Just couldn't leave Chapel Hill. Felt like things were really good, a real good situation for him here. So he is returning to Chapel Hill. RJ Davis, the ACC reigning ACC Player of the Year, is returning to Chapel Hill. He will likely get some consideration for, obviously, ACC Player of the Year and probably National Player of the Year going into next season. And then also North Carolina landed a commitment from transfer from Belmont, Cade Tyson, who will likely play a majority of his minutes at the three for the Tar Heels. Great perimeter shooter, great shooter all around. So that's where things sit right now. And so as we bring in Sean and Sherelle here, first things first, Sherelle, there's still some gaping holes as North Carolina looks towards a now closed transfer portal and kind of starts sizing up what they want to do before moving on in earnest towards prepping for next season. So I want to ask you, Sherelle, what are the things that this roster needs right now with regard to fit?
I think basically it's pretty set at the one, at the two, and then at the three. And from a numbers perspective, it's set at the four. Now, I think people would say there needs to be more talent at the four position, that potentially they could add someone who could be a difference maker there. I could hear that argument. I think that's valid. And then there is a hole at the five. If you go back to what we kind of reported back at the end of February about the portal needs were they wanted to sign a big time shooter, and it didn't matter what position they were at. So they're good there. And then they wanted to sign someone who could at worst platoon with Jalen Washington in a rotation at center, or at best someone who could come in and play 30, 33 minutes per game. Now, it looks as though, based upon what's in the portal, who's committed elsewhere, that 30 to 33 minute per game person is no longer available. You know, there's still time, I would say, to sign someone who could be in the platoon with Washington. But it does seem, based upon what UNC staff did, who they talked to, who they tried to get on campus, who they didn't get on campus, who they didn't give a chance to get on campus, it does seem like they wanted someone who could come in and play 30, 33 minutes per game. So far, of the big two, I would say Jonas Adu and Cliff Omori were the two that were really big misses by them. And now it's just a matter of going back and kind of resetting, I would say, and kind of recalibrating and just overhauling their recruiting board and starting fresh after Omori decided to go to Alabama today. So I think that's where they're at. I think they're really strong. Not just from a starter's perspective, from a depth perspective at the 1 through 3, they've got numbers at the 4, but then they need help at the 4 and the 5.
So Sean, I'm going to switch this to you and throw it into your lap a little bit. What does North Carolina need from a production standpoint? I mean, you look at the fact that they lost Armando Beckett, who exhausted his eligibility. James Okonkwo did transfer and committed to Akron. North Carolina lost Cormac Ryan, obviously, who's out of eligibility, and Paxson Wojcik. But what do you think statistically, or at least from a production standpoint, that North Carolina needs to replace?
Well, from a production standpoint, I mean, you have Cadeau and RJ returning, so you know exactly from the backcourt what they did last year. And I think the good thing is you have Elliot Cadeau returning. We got a year out of him as a freshman instead of him playing in high school. And I know his aspirations to get the NBA. Now he does have that 1 year under his belt. I think also a sour taste in his mouth to end the season. So hopefully that, you know, makes his offseason workouts even better. But in terms of production, from Cormac and Harrison and Armando, I mean, that's, you know, 15 years of college basketball experience right there. So you're losing a tremendous amount of experience. I think, as Sherelle said, from that 3 position offensively, I feel pretty good around those 3 positions, even almost slotting up to that 3-4 position if you're probably be a little undersized. But once again, from that production standpoint, the 4 or 5, the front court is completely wide open. And as of right now, you are basing a lot of that on a huge summer improvement for a variety of players. And I think there definitely can be an improvement, but I think everybody would feel better if there was some type of experience coming in that you can look at what they just did and feel comfortable that, hey, that might be a baseline level for what is going to come into Chapel Hill. But I think, once again, from that 1 through 3, even if you want to go small, that 1 through 4, you couldn't really ask for anything better between the experience from RJ coming, bringing back an all-American, then the young guys in Cadeau, Ian Jackson, who I think offensively will be special. Drake Powell is going to be fantastic. So you have these 2 5-star kids coming in. And then obviously Seth Trimble and Cade Tyson from the experience. And so there's a lot of different matchups you can play. But once again, from a production standpoint, you are losing a tremendous amount from that starting lineup that you're not directly replacing.
So I want to go back to where Sherelle mentioned earlier about, you know, North Carolina's perceived misses in the portal with guys they're going after with the 5. And I want to talk a little bit about the psychology of the fan base. I think it's acceptable to be upset. It's acceptable to be a little frustrated that North Carolina at this point seems to have missed on what is obviously a high priority. And I can go ahead and say that, yes, they knew they were going to have to replace Armando Beckett. Yes, they knew they were going to need to bring in someone with potential experience, but time under their belt to replace or to at least allow Jalen Washington to continue to develop. But definitely wanted to point out, we understand the frustration of a lot of folks. I think where Sherelle and Sean and I probably want to pump the brakes a little bit is like just recognizing that, hey, there are still options out there and we'll see what they are. And I think it's okay also to be frustrated that North Carolina hasn't bagged either of their two top prospects so far. So, Sherelle, have you ever seen anything like this recruitment of Cliff Amore where it was just so wrapped up and so quiet? And I think a lot of folks think that IC may have sat on some information or may have held back some detail, but that really just wasn't the case.
We try to be honest. Like, if we know something, I think we've established with our readers kind of a rapport where we leave breadcrumbs and they follow. Usually if it's something positive that we can't say. If it's something negative, usually we'll just say it. And if we don't know, we'll just say we don't know. And I think with Amore's recruitment, one of the last things we said was that we were just trying to better understand all of the players within the recruitment and kind of have a feel for the hierarchy of like who's helping him make the decision. And that's one thing we never really quite got a firm grasp on, was kind of like, okay, these are the four people, or these are the five people, or the six people who are going to help him make the decision. So that is part of it with the portal, is that guys just aren't as open as they are in high school. But I mean, there's been plenty of high school recruitments that were tight-lipped and, you know, we didn't know the answer until the announcement. There's a couple that I won't mention because I think the Carolina fan base will get upset, but there's a few of those. There's a few of those that Carolina has won as well. I think probably the last one like that was Seventh Woods, where no one knew until the very moment that he said where he was going to go. And at the time, that was a pretty big recruiting win for UNC. So this kind of stuff does happen. And I think, again, you talk about the portal and how recruiting goes in it. There are just so many more variables, you know, in it than there used to be. It's not just a high school kid and his AAU coach and his parents anymore. It's the high school coach and the AAU coach and the parents and the agent and the marketing agent and the branding agent. And, you know, there's just all additional parties with most kids' recruitment now. And it's different. And I think UNC has done a decent job of adjusting to that. I think they're still kind of feeling their way through it. But it's a new world. And I think the sooner we accept that and the sooner everyone else accepts that, we'll be able to better understand how recruitments go and what are the priorities and those type of things. So it is a learning lesson. I know no one wants to hear that for the UNC staff, I think, in just how they approached the bigs that they went after in the portal. I think it's a learning lesson for us and how to cover it. I think there are a couple of people that maybe we gave too much attention to that they weren't that interested in, like Omar Ballo, for example. You know, we had a write-up on him and we thought he was going to be a top target, and they had one phone call with him and that was it. So it's just learning this process and learning this new world, and it's going to take time, but I think we'll get there. I'm not sure if I answered your question, but that's kind of where I went with it.
Before I go back to Sean, I want to ask you this, Sherelle. A lot of folks on IC in the last couple of days, and even in our chat tonight, shout out to the 560 some odd of y'all who are here with us live. We appreciate you. Sherelle, a lot of folks says that North Carolina just won't pay, and North Carolina is not competitive in NIL, and North Carolina will not compete with these other schools with what they're offering in NIL money. Based on what you know of the situation, you know, and I know you can't get into certain specifics, how much more clearly can you refute that?
I don't know if we can do it any more clearly, but, you know, NIL, North Carolina, I think the line that we've been using is North Carolina is extremely competitive when it comes to name, image, and likeness. And I don't know if we should even call it that, but to NIL, North Carolina is extremely competitive when it comes to that, because that is something that, whether or not people like it or not, is very important to a lot of people. And I would say rightfully so. But it's not a situation where guys are coming to Carolina and Carolina's like, oh, you should just play for the name on the front of the jersey and the, you know, not the name on the back. Yeah, they want people who want to be there, but they understand the realities of where college basketball is now and where college athletics are now.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And I can't say enough to the folks listening to it. This isn't me trying to talk down to anybody. This is the reality of the situation. I know that folks probably want some specifics to see behind the scene before they believe it. But well, I'm telling you, go ahead.
Let me tell you this. The other thing is just be wary, whichever one you want to be, of numbers that are published, you know, for all to see. Always ask yourself who benefits from having that number out there. Who does it make look good and who does it make look bad? And that should tell you kind of where stuff might come from. So I would say always be wary or weary of that. And then when it comes to North Carolina, do not believe a single number that you hear when it comes from North Carolina from the national media. And I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I appreciate you saying that. Sean, I want to ask you with regard to what North Carolina is trying to do with the five position. It looks like they've gone after some different styles of players. And specifically, I want to talk about Jonas Adu and Cliff Amori. Those two guys are vastly different. So is it fair to say that, you know, they're kind of keeping their options open for how they want to play that position? Or do you feel like they're just looking at a certain level of production regardless of how they get there?
It seemed more like a certain level of play in terms of both played in, you know, power conferences. Both starters had played well and were established. So very different body styles in terms of what Adu and Cliff had, very different types of games. But once again, they were established with three seasons for Adu and four for Cliff. So I think it was, to Sherrill's earlier point, really looking at that big man that can come in initially and be a starter and be that guy that can, that you know what production you're going to get from. And now you scroll through that portal list or the guys testing the waters. And once again, I think it's always a little scary with the guys testing the waters because you don't know who's coming in, who's coming out. Obviously a few years ago, Dawson Garcia signed pretty late, but yeah, I mean, I think the nice thing about Armando all these years was, you knew you had a physical player. Maybe you might come along one or two guys that is going to overpower him. Obviously he struggled with length, but you had a guy once again that had the strength, could switch on to people. And I think right now that's probably the scariest thing in terms of when you are getting into these top matchups. I mean, starting the season with Kansas, but then getting into the tournament. And I think at both the four and the five, you started to think, well, who's going to match up with a Grant Nielsen type, or who's going to match up with a big bruiser at the five? And once again, I think you look at what Jalen Washington did on the offensive end in very limited minutes and did put up just pretty crazy efficiency numbers. But once again, there's always, can you do that in bigger minutes? But with him, the concern from a body type, agility wise and defensively, as well as from a strength perspective. So once again, I think it was really more the production and the level that they've been looking at more than, hey, this is what we want to, this is the exact type of skill set we want for our team next season. But right now, I think we've always been wondering what happens when Armando leaves, what happens to the offensive rebounding. And right now it's looking like that'll probably take a big decrease no matter what happens.
I was going to say too, I think maybe it's the situation now that the big names and the big production are pretty much gone. Do they pivot and think about other styles and other ways to fill the same need, but without necessarily having the same pedigree or the same build or the same size? You know, for example, when Brady Manick came to UNC, I know I did. I questioned his rebounding like a ton when he came into the portal. And I think over time, he became, that year, he was UNC's backup five. Now, obviously, that's not a situation where you want to do it for 20 or 25 minutes a game. Mm-hmm. But if, you know, there's a couple of guys left in the portal who are true centers, but if those guys go elsewhere, maybe they decide to pivot and they try to play. And I don't want to call it small ball, but just find a big athletic guy and, you know, kind of let him be that 4-5, 5-4 in stretches. I'm not saying that. Let me preface. I'm not saying that is the best solution. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that that's what UNC needs to do. I'm not saying that that excuses what they did before. Just trying to think about how they move forward, because as everyone has seen, the bigs are kind of the first ones to go. They typically require a lot to go. And now UNC's in a situation where they're going to have to be creative. So I want to see if they'll be able to pivot and tweak, as Hubert Davis would say, what they want to do next season based upon who was there. The other thing I would say too is that the strength of the team is going to be the 1-3. So the five, whoever that person ends up being, has to be able to complement those guys at the 1-3. And whether that is a lob guy or a rim runner or whatever, that is going to be how it looks at how I think UNC looks at it. Last year we talked about whoever comes in has to be able to complement RJ and Armando. I think this year it's the big, whoever he is, has to complement the 1-3. So I think that might color who they look at that's remaining in the portal too.
Which I think that's probably one of the crazier things of a big man and knowing what you have in Cadeau and right off the bat, that's probably some easy baskets right there coming from him. But Sherrill, I think to your point, once again, I think in particular matchups, this can get troubling, but once again, I don't see any issue with Powell potentially playing up given his length and his fast twitch muscle fibers. And, you know, Tyson, once again, skinny guy, but he's 6'7" and long, and you could easily roll out kind of a nice 1-4, very perimeter oriented with a mix of shooting, slashing and speed. But I think what they are looking at, they're definitely going to have to add 1 to 2 more bodies that can complement different styles, because once again, Washington, what happens, injuries or foul troubles, high obviously is almost not even the freshman to sophomore year elite, but that a true freshman season. So you definitely have a lot of questions and just trying to, I think, piece it together where you can almost have to figure out things on the fly with the five, and the 1-4 is really what you're focusing on from a scoring perspective, which I guess final point for that is how important for Cadeau and Trimble it is to become 3-point threats so that you don't have teams that are just backing off of them and you legitimately have four guys that can just attack and score and teams are not able to play off or play different mismatches like we've seen the past few years with these, you know, non-shooters or teams daring UNC guards or wings to shoot and crowding the paint.
And the other thing I've seen a lot, Joey, is people saying, why can't they sign a five? And like, I don't have an answer. I don't know. Like, I mean, maybe.
And it's a fair question.
I wish I knew the answer. I mean, I think from a UNC, like someone who covers UNC perspective, I think from the fan base perspective, and I think even from a national perspective, if you started projecting out the roster, you would say, man, that whoever big athletic center insert person here, you would think he would love to go to UNC considering the stage and the prominence and all that stuff, competitive NIL. You know, playing with RJ Davis and a point guard like Elliot Cadeau and, you know, guys like Seth Trimble and Ian Jack, you know, you would think that'd be a positive. And I don't have an answer as to why it seems like it hasn't been. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. It doesn't make a ton of sense. But I think there are guys out there who would be willing to come in and play a role. And maybe that's what it was. Maybe, the guys who signed elsewhere wanted huge, massive roles where they were going to be Armando Bacot. And I think for this particular UNC team, they knew they weren't going to get an Armando Bacot, nor I think do they want an Armando Bacot based upon how the team is designed and how the strengths of what the roster looks like right now. So I don't have an answer to the why, honestly. I know that's a big question, but just don't have an answer for it.
Hey, I'm old enough to remember when people were jumping in my mentions online and saying that, you know, Armando Bacot needed to leave Chapel Hill. And now all of a sudden it's quite a different story, right? I think there's something to be, if you really want to know what happened with the Amori situation, there's something to be examined. And it's probably that he did not visit Johnny T-shirt during his visit. If he had made his way to Franklin Street and spent some time checking out Johnny T-shirt's amazing selection, incredibly low prices, and just their really friendly customer service, that probably would have been enough to get his commitment on the spot. I think that there's probably some missed opportunity there, and so I wonder if next time, you know, maybe the kid should just have his Uber drop him off at Johnny T-shirt before he even declares himself on campus. And you know, maybe that'll take care of things. Johnny T-shirt, big supporters of Inside Carolina. We appreciate them. I hope that you will do the same. Summertime is upon us. It's time to break out some unusually short shorts. Anything else you add to your summer wardrobe, let Johnny T-Shirt take care of you. They're great human beings. We want you to, you know what? I mean, yeah, maybe do yourself some retail therapy, right? Go some online shopping, make yourself feel better about the fact that, you know, North Carolina is still looking for a man to play the five next year. So just get yourself some gear from Johnny T. Use your 10% discount code on the premium message boards, and you'll feel better about it. We'll be right back and let some national ads run in right here after this, and we'll talk a little bit more about what might be next for North Carolina as they continue to mine the transfer portal and assemble a roster for next season.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right. Appreciate you guys being with us. I'm Joey Powell for Inside Carolina on the Coast to Coast podcast. Sherelle McMillan and Sean Moran are with me as always, and we appreciate them making time for us. Sherelle, what I want to ask you next is kind of what do you think happens as a next step for North Carolina and how they feel this need on the roster? You know, there's been some names batted around, and I don't think even the staff knows yet. Since they just got the no from Amori today, I don't think the staff knows yet what direction they're going to go. But some of the names that are out there are JT Toppin, Great Osabor, Ugana Onyenso from Kentucky, Baba Miller from Florida State, you know, the Hawkins kid from Illinois. I mean, there's a lot of names out there that are still uncommitted and still really don't have a next place to land. So I want to throw that out to you, Sherelle. Not necessarily, you know, if there's any of those names you feel like are not a fit or will not hit UNC's radar for whatever reason, if you want to cross those off, feel free. But what do you think North Carolina staff is going to do next now that they've kind of been dealt a blow with this whiff on their last one?
We'd probably prefer not to get into individual names just because it could be a situation where they do call them and behind the scenes it didn't work out and we never hear about it. Or it could be a situation where next weekend we're talking about, you know, player X has decided to visit. So we'll see, I would say, on some of the players that you named. I think right now it's probably the first time where they're like really, and maybe they did it today, this morning when they found out, or I don't know, where they just kind of say, okay, let's reevaluate the goals. We're midway through portal season. There's still lots of time for guys to pull out the drafts, like, they're working their contacts. They're talking to, you know, coaches. They're figuring out who's there, who might fit. And then they're going down their list and probably having a discussion about them, you know, having a film study with them, you know, doing their due diligence to see if they think it's someone who would fit. And then I think from there, they'll kind of create another recruiting board or add on to the recruiting board that they already had. So I think it's a really good chance to recalibrate slash reset and see what else is out there and then move forward. So that's the expectation I have. I think the names that we've given out over the last few weeks were definitely high priorities. And right now there's a couple of names lurking beneath the surface that we aren't ready to share just yet. But I think those names will start to come out soon, and then it'll be off and trying to get guys on visits and seeing where it goes from there. So to me, it's a chance to pause, reset, recalibrate, and then move forward. I think that's what they're doing today or you know, tomorrow or Tuesday.
So Sherelle, what you're saying is that the North Carolina staff does have a plan, even if we don't know it or aren't allowed to share it yet. Do you say that's correct?
I would say that's correct. They have a plan. Now, I'll be fair, and I'll say that they probably didn't think they were going to have to use this plan, because I think
also true.
100% they really thought they were going to get one of these centers. It's one of the, as Sean said, the high-level centers. I think they really thought that that was going to happen. And that it didn't, now that it hasn't, there is a, I don't want to, scramble is probably too strong, but there is rearranging, recalibrating, tweaking, pivoting, whatever word you want to use. I think it's going to be going on in the next couple of days in the Smith Center, and then they'll emerge from kind of these recruiting losses and try to make the team better moving forward.
Hey, they're going to wholesale for a little bit, take their name off the package, step back for a time, you know, and then when the police come off those corners, they'll come right back, if you feel what I'm putting down. All right, 700 people here. Sean, I want to ask you, for somebody who might say that, you know, Hubert Davis clearly does not understand the transfer portal, is not great at working the transfer portal, or Hubert Davis is not great at what he's doing, what would you say? What would you say to somebody who felt that way?
Well, I think you can look at who they've targeted and some of the successes and failures they've had, but there have been successes with Brady Manick and Harrison Ingram and what they did last year. So they definitely have been able to compete at the highest level. Obviously, very frustrating that this was one of the main focuses, and we're here talking about it. But once again, I mean, I think it's the transfer portal. Things move very quickly. As Sherelle said, there's a lot of different decision makers involved, and somebody like a big man where there's only, you're looking at a, really a small handful, you know, things can move in various directions. So I think everybody's probably disappointed right now, but once again, I think it's just what happened versus you can look at the past few years and see how UNC has done. And I think they definitely have some great examples to point to. I mean, I think, not to go on a side tangent, but very focused on what next season looks like. But this time next year, you know, you can look at the guy. This year it was, hey, let's focus on a sharpshooter and a big. Next year, I mean, it could be you're almost an Alabama or somebody where you need to replace a whole team, which is, you know, scary in itself. So definitely frustrating because they had a lot coming back or returning, which once again, I think is a testament to the staff that none of those players were entering the portal or leaving or going to chase even more money. But at the same time, frustrating knowing that, hey, this one position was really a big focus and now we're on not the scramble, but a backup plan.
And, you know, I want to give Sherelle his flowers. I know he's a big fan of using corporate buzzwords. And, man, he had a great string of them there a few seconds ago. So let me ask you this, Sherelle. What is realistic right now as we sit again? We've always given the Father's Day is the day you should assign your final grades for how the staff has done this summer. So we're still, at least for the purposes of this podcast, we're still a little bit hesitant to deviate from that. We still want folks to try to refrain from assigning a final grade when it's in the middle of when it's the middle of the semester. But Sherelle, I would ask you, what do you think is realistic as far as the timeline goes for North Carolina? You still feel like it's that Father's Day when everything will really be settled?
Yeah, I don't know about settled, but that's when you should decide whether or not you like the roster or not. Obviously, right now the roster is incomplete. I think Hubert Davis would tell you that. I think anybody would tell you that. But there's still a chance to improve it. There's still chances to add players to it who can make a difference, whether people believe that or not. There are. It just might not be in the same way that we all were expecting. that we all have reported on or been told over the last couple of months. So I still think, you know, June, you know, Father's Day, June 15th is kind of the time. And if North Carolina's roster to you looks terrible on June 15th, you can give them a final grade and say, you know what, they did a poor job. I think if we're doing like, I don't know, midterm grades, I think they have incomplete right now. They did sign Kate Tyson, which I think we've kind of glossed over, who is, I guess, 1A, 1B shooter in the portal, a really, you know, solid player who can come in and compete at a three and maybe play some four for UNC. So that is a positive. I think people who ask about the NIL program and if it's competitive for UNC, I think, you know, again, look at the roster and look at the guys who they were able to keep. We all know who have national and some international buzz. We all know we're on All-American teams. We all know we're five stars, and they were able to keep those guys. I think that says a lot. And then I think you just have to kind of see what's, again, they just have to recalibrate, reset, and see what's out there. But I would say it is very fair to be disappointed and to say they have failed to meet their objectives thus far, because it's true, because they made it clear, their actions, their words, everything made it clear they wanted a Impact Five and they haven't gotten it yet. So we'll see where things stand in a month. And if, again, like I said, if you think it's a terrible roster, I think you can say so with confidence then. You might still be wrong then, but you can say so with some confidence because it'll be close to final.
So that we don't gloss over how Kate Tyson might fit in, Sean, I want to ask you, what does a player like that bring to this roster? And could that actually alleviate some of the pressure in needing to have a you know, a marquee player at the five position?
I don't know. I mean, in terms of, I don't know how much it alleviates it, but at the same time, from a, if we were looking at a complete roster, there are some certain question marks in terms of outside shooting from a Cadeau and Trimble and what happened last year. Obviously you have RJ, but I think we always talk about shooting, and he definitely brings that. You know, I think for him, there will be a level of adjustment going from the Belmont level up to the UNC level and that size and athleticism. But if he's getting open looks, he can certainly knock them down. But once again, for him, I think there will be that level of, or that time period that is needed. But once again, I think from what UNC hasn't had in that athleticism and just, you know, excitement from both Ian Jackson and Drake Powell, I think we should not gloss over what that recruiting class is. And once again, I think it's better having some experience around it with a Trimble and with an RJ, where they can still have the growing pains. But you look at those really three positions, I'm throwing Cadeau in there with the experience. And I think that in itself is extremely exciting. But once again, there is that, just that black hole that's open. But in terms of Kate Tyson, I think the size and the shooting definitely will alleviate some issues that maybe they saw this year, but it doesn't fix that five position defensively. And same thing with what Cormac Ryan brought from a defensive perspective. I think that's also a question mark on, you know, who could be, you know, once again, say a guy like Mark Sears comes back, who's guarding him for 30 plus minutes. And I don't think it's Kate Tyson. So
that's fair. And again, I appreciate the even-handed response. Sherelle, there's some other names that don't play the five position that have been on North Carolina's radar. And, you know, you've touched on them a little bit on the premium board with some write-ups, kind of names to know and so on and so forth. Are there any developments there that you feel like you can share, or have some of those relationships soured? Or do you think North Carolina has just been focused on, you know, Amori over the past week? Can you refresh any of that stuff, or do you feel like, you know, maybe some of those have opted to go in a different direction?
I would say the main other target over the last couple of weeks has been Adu Thiro, who's a transfer from Kentucky. And his recruitment has been interesting, to say the least. He kind of entered the portal, I think, in late March, and then waited and didn't really do anything. And the information that we got was, you know, partially he was waiting on Harrison Ingram to make a decision at UNC. And so the day before Ingram announces that he was going pro, Thero puts UNC in his top five, along with Arkansas, Kentucky, Pittsburgh, and another school I'm forgetting. Arkansas, Kentucky, Pittsburgh, UNC. I'm forgetting another one. Indiana was the other one. Excuse me. Indiana was the fifth one, I believe. So, you know, it seemed like Carolina had some momentum there. Hubert Davis had called him and talked to the parents and everything. And then he had planned to enter the NBA draft, or had, you know, he thought filed paperwork to enter the NBA draft to go through the pre-draft process, because a lot of folks are talking about him as a number one draft pick, first round draft pick in 2025. So he wanted to get some experience with the process. And it turns out that his name wasn't on the list. And I think he's still trying to figure out why. I think there were some paperwork issues, some back end office type stuff that didn't get done. And so all of a sudden he's thinking that he's going to go through the process, but his name isn't there, so he can't. And so it was from there that it was like, okay, well, let's just see what happens. So he takes takes a visit to Pittsburgh because he's in town. And then the next week he takes a visit to Arkansas, which kind of caught everyone off guard, because all the information that we had received to that point was that Arkansas probably wasn't going to be a huge factor. And I would say, from a North Carolina perspective, to be skeptical of UNC and Thero until he sets an official visit date and arrives on campus. I think that's because he waited for UNC for a month, and I think that's fair, and I think that should be acknowledged. But at the same time, it's been a couple weeks and there hasn't been really any movement. To be fair, UNC was focused on Omori these last 4 or 5 days, but you would think that if there was serious mutual interest that he would, you know, either be on campus by now or have scheduled a visit by now. So I think that's the thing to look out for with his recruitment. If it gets to this point next week and there's not an official visit, then I'd probably say you could be safe to just go ahead and move on. And, you know, UNC will see what else is out there. And again, I think that's part of this recalibration, resetting that they either are doing now, did earlier, or are going to do soon.
Good feedback. Sean, I want to ask you, I've seen a lot of folks in the chat tonight, and appreciate all the 800 of y'all that have made us a part of your evening. If you're listening to us as a podcast after the show or after we record, we appreciate you being here as well. If you'd ever like to join us live, feel free. But we appreciate you listening to us however you listen to us. I want to give a big shout out to Topher and Dean and Keenan, three huge Tar Heel fans that listen to the show on a regular basis. You might know that they're Tar Heel fans because his two kids' names are Dean and Keenan. But shout out to Topher Gibson and the Gibson boys, big fans of theirs. Sean, I want to ask you, I've seen a lot of folks in the chat saying, you know, why doesn't North Carolina, you know, play Tyson at the four? Or I've seen folks on the message boards in the past couple of days, you know, suggesting just kind of moving players around. Can you talk a little bit about how that is or is not an option for North Carolina, especially, you know, at the phase some of these guys are in their careers?
I mean, I think the four position has always been, prior to Hubert, the big focus in terms of UNC playing big and other teams starting to almost move that standard three up to the four. So now that's putting pressure on the UNC defense because there's breakdowns from the wing. So I think, once again, I mean, you had Harrison Ingram at the four spot this year, and he was able to a lot of times take advantage of that offensively and post a smaller guy. So I don't have as much, that's again why I was saying, I think from a 1-4 offensively, I think you can be fairly fine, and it offers a way to get, you know, right now six players, the ability to get on the court in different situations, knowing RJ is going to be playing 33 to 35 minutes. So offensively, obviously UNC has their sets, but I think they're very adaptable. And right now you're mostly looking at four out, one in, five out in terms of college basketball offenses. But once again, I think defensively is where the concern is, where in general, looking 30,000 foot view, it's fine. There's not going to be that many fours that are going to overpower, maybe have the height to fully take advantage. But when there are those big teams, I think that's where it's going to get troubling, or when you are in a tight spot with a few minutes left and teams are now matchup hunting. I think that's going to be the main issue when you're looking at a Tyson at a four, even maybe Ian Jackson at the three at times. Once again, because you are dealing with that smaller backcourt to begin with. So I think offensively, no issue. And it could work to alleviate, once again, six talented players trying to find 5 minutes, plus throwing Withers in there at the four as well. But defensively, I think overall it can be fine, but there are going to be certain times where teams are going to try to attack that certain mismatch along with the potential five spot.
So I think it's, I realize everything's on the table right now, and I can appreciate the questions that people are asking regarding, you know, what does North Carolina do to fill that void at the five? Just again, pump the brakes. It's, they don't have to start going to battle with these guys yet, just because, you know, the roster's not done yet. While they have missed on two big center prospects that they felt good about, hey, just hang tight. Wait and see what happens, you know, middle of June. Then you'll really understand, do they need to start switching some positions? You know, are certain players going to have to play more than was originally expected? Just give it some time. But it's totally okay, again, to be frustrated with, you know, missing on two of their prime post prospects, say that five times real fast, that North Carolina aimed at to begin with. Guys, it's time for our 2 cents. We usually try to get this in to show some love to our friends at Congruity before we put a wrap on a show. Our 2 cents is basically just the last two pennies we can throw with the conversation. Sometimes they're in line with the topics that we've discussed tonight. Sometimes they're a little off the beaten path, but I always give Sherelle and Sean free rein to go in any direction they want to with those two pennies. So we'll start now. But as you know, Congruity HR, big supporters of this show. They've been supporting us now for, it feels like, over a year, and they've seen some good times. They've seen some anxious times, like what North Carolina fans are seeing right now. But what we can tell you is that if you're anxious about your business's, you know, HR or administrative or payroll needs, you need to contact Congruity. Congruity HR /Tar Heels. Go on there, do that free business assessment. They'll tell you how they might be able to help you save some money, so that you can go back to focusing on other things like, you know, North Carolina signing a guy to play the five next year, or, you know, growing your business or helping to improve your profit margins, things like that. Congruity HR is here for you. We want you to appreciate the warm customer service they're going to give you, the first class attention to detail they're going to show when they're talking to you about your business. So just check them out. Congruity HR, we love them. Congruity HR /Tar Heels. Check them out. And now it's time for our 2 cents, brought to you by Congruity. Sean, I'm coming to you first, man. As some folks in the chat have noted, money be green. You are wearing a beautiful green shirt. So we will let you go. We'll let you go first with your two pennies tonight. Fire away, man.
All right. I think first one, once again, I think today, extremely frustrating seeing that. I probably prepped myself in my mind that this was going to happen and Alabama was the choice. I think it happening with Alabama probably makes it all the more frustrating given the last 2 years, as well as, you know, how people perceive Nate Oates and et cetera. But, you know, I think when you are looking at these guys that they recruited, you know, from a big man perspective, once again, I think the quantity or the lack of quantity is probably the main issue. But once again, I think if you are able to get one or two other guys that can piece together with Jalen, like, these are not NBA guys that we're talking about. These are guys that are in 3 years are going to be G League or overseas. And I think there are other guys that can, that maybe not don't have the names that these guys did from that 3 to 4 years of experience, but guys that can give serviceable minutes or fit in different situations. So once again, it's a lot of hope in terms of what will happen over the next few weeks or month without really knowing anything right now. But I think very fair to have some frustration, but that kind of goes, I guess, into the second one. And once again, from that, those six guys that you're talking about on that 1 through 3, even sliding up to the 4, I think that in itself is championship caliber. Obviously frustrating that there's not the championship caliber 4 or 5 to go with it. But with RJ coming back as an All-American and Cadeau, I think being able to take that leap of having the experience, and now you layer in these different skilled athletes, projected lottery picks, sharpshooters, there's still a lot to work with. So it's not like we are seeing the doomsday scenario, but, you know, we're not seeing the sun is shining, and there's no cloud in sight either. So once again, I think there is a lot of excitement from the guards and wings, and hopefully they can piece together what's going to fill out their team. And at the end of the day, a lot of these guys, you know, even though the money is good, these guys are not NBA guys that we're talking about missing out on. But there is that huge question mark, which you wish you had, you know, a Cliff or even an Adu to a certain extent coming in.
Appreciate that, sir. Your two pennies are accepted. Sherrill, I'm going to come to you. Same thing. Give me your 2 cents before we get out of here.
Yeah, I don't have much. It's been an interesting couple of weeks, I would say. I've learned a lot, excuse me, about how all this works, about kind of the new landscape of college basketball. So I would say that's one penny, is just that, you know, college basketball is college basketball on game days and during the NCAA tournament. Any other time is professional sports. So I think the sooner we all wrap our head around that and accept it and stop trying to live in the past, the better. Like, the past is dead. It's over. The college basketball you knew is gone. Like, accept it. You have to move on. So that's probably number one. And then number two, I do. It's interesting because, you know, they've had Armando for so long in the middle, and it was just like, you knew what you were getting. You knew you were getting that 15 and 10, you know, 16 and 11 pretty much every single night. And now he's gone. And now it's like the talent has kind of flipped to the backcourt. I think last year there were times where we all said, man, North Carolina, just if they had one more guard, if they had one more wing, like it would do a lot for the team. Now they have like almost an abundance of riches again at that 1-3 spot. There's like 6 legitimate players at those slots that they'll have next season. And it's just interesting to me to watch how roster construction happens and how the balance shifts from one year to the next to different positions. So, you know, I think they are in a good spot at the 1-3, and nothing has really changed, I would say, from a month ago. They have to find someone who can platoon with Jalen Washington, and with Harrison Ingram going pro, they probably need another body at the 4. So, they've met one of their 2 initial objectives, and now they've kind of got 3. So they've met 1 of 3 since Harrison Ingram left. So that's where I'm at. Is just, I'm really curious to see what's next, because this is the first time, I would say, throughout this process where it hasn't been, okay, we know they're going to this guy, and if this guy doesn't, you know, commit, then we know they're going to that guy, and if that guy doesn't, on and on and on. This is the first time where it's been a bit of a question mark about what the next move is. So I'm just kind of interested to follow it. Before we go, I just give out some dates again, because I think these are important. So
yes, the G League, thank you.
The G League Combine begins this weekend on Saturday in Chicago. And then the actual NBA Combine, which Harrison Ingram was invited to, begins the next day. So I believe that's next Sunday, which is Mother's Day. That lasts for a week, and then coaches have their first open evaluation period, May 15th through May 17th. May 17th through May 19th. So basically like 10 days from now, coaches can be on the road watching high school players, which, you know, we've completely forgotten about high school recruiting because it just takes such a back burner once the season is over. So there'll be coaches at, you know, EYBL, at Adidas, at Under Armour that weekend. We'll have you covered there. May 29th is the next big date, because that's when players who are in the draft who have eligibility remaining have to be out of the draft. That's when they have to withdraw. So that'll open up a pool of players that probably isn't there right now. From there, the UNC players and newcomers, if there are any additional newcomers, will report June 12th, somewhere around there, June 13th. Kate Tyson, because I guess he's younger and has a couple years left, he's actually going to report for the first session. So he'll be here in Chapel Hill in about 10 days as well. So that's kind of the next slate of dates. The total pool of talent that will be available is like in the portal now. It's just a matter of what players withdraw from the draft. We'll tell you the final pool. So like on May 29th, or let's say May 30th, North Carolina, if it hasn't filled out its roster by then, we'll know every single player who's going to be in college basketball the next season. And then if there are roster spots left, they can attack it from there. So there's still chances of, you know, good players coming back to school. And I think North Carolina has an opportunity to fill out its roster based upon its needs. But, you know, they're it's high stakes and the margin for error now is gone.
Well, I hate to end on that note, but we always try to give it give it to everybody in a way that we feel like is authentic and is true. So, that's a good way to leave the show. We'll put it out to everybody. Again, the 800 of y'all at one point, I think we're in here. We certainly appreciate it. Just, as for every time there's a great win over a rival opponent, there's times that can produce some anxiety, and that's part of being a fan. So stick around, obviously, as things develop, as we are able to confirm multiple times and vet things that we're hearing about North Carolina's next moves, we'll obviously share that. And if you're a premium subscriber, you will get that information. So make sure you are a premium subscriber. Go ahead and get in. Go ahead and get your subscription amped up right now. You'll know all of the information coming from the best staff in the game about this kind of stuff, and Sherelle and following recruiting. There's nobody else that does it the way that man right there does. So if you're looking for that, and then, Sean's going to give you rundowns of everybody that North Carolina seems to be heavily involved with. He's going to tell you what they're good at, what they're not good at, what you can expect, how they fit, all that kind of stuff. So it's worth the price of admission. And, you also get the other perks, but just make sure you guys are premium subscribers. We want to go ahead and throw that out there. I know there are other places out there that are, aggregating and regurgitating information that might come from IC. We don't really appreciate that, but there's nobody that does it the way that Sherelle and Sean and Ben do for basketball. And then, Tommy and Buck and Greg and Jeremiah and Adam and gosh knows everybody else. And I'm sure I missed somebody and they're going to hate me and send me a mean message. But, this is a really, really amazing staff. And they put together the best content for y'all. So make sure you check it out. Make sure you're engaged and getting all the good info, because we're going to have it first before anybody else does. I feel comfortable in saying that. But I hope y'all have a great week. Sherelle McMillan, Sean Moran, thanks for being here. Shout out to John Siegley for producing. We appreciate Johnny T-Shirt and Congruity for sponsoring. And we will catch you guys next time on the Coast to Coast podcast here on InsideCarolina.com. I'm Joey Powell.
It was a very bright, shining light, Sarajevo, and they needed to kill that light.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2.
U2, they represent a personification of our resistance.
The Hollywood Reporter hails Kiss the Future, moving and inspirational.
Kiss the Future! Viva Sarajevo!
Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount+. Go to Paramount+ to try it free. Terms apply.